Welcome to This Week Online Today podcast with your host, Ahmed Khalifa, where I will be talking to you about the big online news that has been happening this week today to make sure that you are ahead of the game when it comes to running your online brand successfully. And at the end of the show, I will also be giving you a bonus tip of the week to help you further. So let's get straight on to the show. What's up, everyone? This is episode 40 of This Week Online Today, and we are going to go straight onto the news about Facebook again. I'm sure it's going to happen every week at this rate. But in this case, I say it again because a few weeks ago in episode 37, I talked about how they're changing the algorithm to kind of reduce your page visibility. Well, they have made a couple of announcements this week alone, over 2 days actually, and good old Mark Zuckerberg has released two different statement kind of thing. One of them is that they're going to start prioritizing local news in their user feeds. And I guess it's part of the whole kind of community building kind of thing. They want to make sure that it's all about being connected with your community, with your peers kind of thing. They want to start pushing local news more on top of the user's feed. And I think he's also their way of kind of making sure that the, quote, high-quality sites are pushed more often to the top of users' feed. They are more relevant. And I guess it's kind of also linked to make sure that there's no fake news appearing anywhere. And in a similar news, in this complete, actually similar but separate news actually, they have made another announcement. And that is, they're going to update the algorithm to prioritize trustworthy publishers as well. And again, just to make sure that high quality and it's relevant and it's real news that are appearing on the user feed. They're really making a push in that. And I guess they have been under a lot of pressure about all these fake articles and fake news appearing on user feeds, and people are actually believing it. And of course, it looks bad on Facebook if, you know, the feed is full of fake information, fake news, and it's making them look bad, which means advertising is going to be bad. It means the shareholders are not going to be happy. It's going to affect them in the long run. But ultimately, of course, it's going to affect the users when you see a lot of junk on the user feed. So they're going to make major changes by focusing more on these kind of publishers which are deemed to be trustworthy. And Mark Zuckerberg has obviously released a statement again, and he went to, and I quote this, "It will only shift the balance of news you see towards sources that are determined to be trustworthy by the community. My hope is that this update about trusted news and last week's update about meaningful interactions will help make time on Facebook time well spent." And you might be wondering, what does he mean about this update, about the last week update about meaningful interaction? Well, because there was another statement on top of that, and he wants people to kind of spend less time on it. And I've talked about that in the last episode about how social media is getting kind of a negative attention recently on how it can affect your mentality and your brain and your and children, how they kind of behave around it negatively. And Zuckerberg kind of trying to react to it by, first of all, reducing the number of viral videos, and that is to help to boost the well-being of the users on the site. And that is a deliberate decision that they have made. And he claims that, you know, they have made changes that will reduce time spent on Facebook by roughly 50 million hours per day, which sounds like a crazy amount. Now, in terms of mathematically, that is a reduction of roughly 2.14 minutes per day per user. And this is taken into account of the 1.4 billion users that are on Facebook right now. And, you know, Zuckerberg did say that it's a reduction of time spent around 5%. So there's a lot of changes going on, and it's really, really trying to focus more on the community and the interaction between the users, and less on your, you know, pushing your business out, your branding, and getting viral videos on Facebook. That's apparently going to happen less and less, and he has his reason for that. some people have argued that if you spend less time on Facebook, isn't that going to mean less meaningful interaction with other people on Facebook anyway? Perhaps, you never know. I mean, he's not going to see that, and then he's probably going to adjust it. Who knows? But on the other hand, less time on Facebook for the users mean more time, maybe face-to-face interaction instead of using the online world all the time. And, you know, that might not mean a good thing for businesses. They want to push their business online, get more visibility on Facebook ads and so on. Well, at the end of the day, and I've mentioned this before, is there's maybe a couple of things you can do about it. One is to spend more money and be a bit more clever on Facebook ads. The other thing is, I always say to you, is that you don't focus only on one platform, and make sure that you own your content, because whatever you put on Facebook, they own it. You know, you put your videos and your feeds and your notes and comments, all these things, they own everything. That is theirs. But if you have your own website and you have your own content, you kind of own it yourself, you created it, you put it on your site, hosted by yourself kind of thing as well, well, that is under your control, and that is something that you can do something about. Facebook, you know, we're playing on their yard. You know, we just have to live with their rule, just like any other platform. We're talking Google, we're talking Twitter, we're talking Instagram, any platform, especially if they have an algorithm that you can't really control at all. We are playing by their rules, and frankly, there's not much we can do about it. So we can kind of do a few things. You can still be on Facebook, experiment with Facebook ads, and spend money on that. At the same time, Facebook should be there to support you. You shouldn't be using Facebook to kind of depend on it completely. The next news we're talking about is about Snapchat, or the company called Snap Inc. And they have launched a merchandise store, which is quite interesting. So apparently they have a lot of merchandise, which I did not know about. And they have released it on their app itself. And, you know, it's kind of funny, you think that, you know, the kind of attention they're getting right now is not a lot, because people are kind of moving to Instagram stories. So people are making jokes about, oh, it's a way for them to make money kind of thing, because they're losing users. But that's not necessarily the case. As far as I understand, the goal for them is not to make money from the merchandise, at least not yet anyway. But what people are noticing more and more is that there is a potential for Snap Inc. to have like an in-app commerce platform for not just for themselves, but for other brands as well. And apparently they have been, you know, selling their merchandise, especially on Amazon. And it seems that they used to sell a few things on Amazon, and they have removed it. And apart from the spectacle, they have removed everything else. And it's a sign for possibly things to come in terms of what they want to do with their in-app e-commerce platform. It seems that they do want to experiment with it. It seems that they want to kind of make sure that they kind of develop that, and they want to focus on the premium teen audience, if you like, because that is kind of the main audience on Snapchat nowadays anyway. But they're not slowing down. They want to do something about that. And you may have experienced it yourself, but e-commerce on mobile can be very, very annoying. When you have issues like, you know, slow website, or buttons that are too small, you can't get your finger on it, or, you know, you can't really type information, you can't see the everything in one screen, the image is not good quality, so on and so on. You know, e-commerce on mobile can be very annoying, and I guess it's another way for Snapchat to kind of get involved in there and make it as smooth as possible, because apparently it does work. Apparently there have been people experimenting with the merchandise store in the actual app and ordered it, and it was very smooth. So it's quite interesting, you know. It's, you know, that kind of direction they go in. Who knows? As the tradition goes, people will copy that feature. But at the same time, other apps have their own version of kind of e-commerce platform. I think YouTube and Instagram have their own version of kind of trying to sell people products online. But you never know. Maybe Snapchat will have a different way of doing it. It seemed to be quite interesting, actually. So does that mean we have to worry about it right now? Do we have to have our app on Snapchat? No, it doesn't mean that at all. it does mean, though, is that there is a big emphasis, even more and more now, on making sure that your mobile website, your experience of the website on mobile, is just as good as it can be. It needs to load fast, it needs to have the relevant information in there, it needs to be easy to access everything that the audience need to find, and if they want to buy or subscribe, it needs to be easy to do that. It's just becoming so, so important that mobile experience is to the top level, and there's no hiding from that at all. You have no choice but to do it. So it's, I guess, it's another way for Snapchat to get involved in that market. Next in the news, if we steer away from social media, is to get onto Google, who has published a comprehensive guide, actually, on featured snippet. And if you don't know what featured snippet is, these are the tiny box at the top of your search result page, which give you direct answer right there and then on the result page when you have a question that you search for. So you don't need to go and click on the website to find the answer. You'll find the answer to your question right there on the Google result page. There are a number of things interesting about this article, and one of the things I've noticed is that it's written by Danny Sullivan, and if you don't know him, he used to, I think he's the founder and used to be editor of Search Engine Land, which is like a really high, trustworthy resource for place for SEO news and digital marketing and PPC, that kind of thing, and especially around search engine. And he has moved over to Google to be kind of like their search liaison officer kind of thing. And he's a link. He's a link between the SEO community and Google. So he has written this comprehensive guide. And basically, it explains what featured snippets are, the various interfaces that you will see, how they work on desktop and how it works on mobile and voice search as well. And Google goes into details about why it's important, and why it's important not just for mobile but also for voice activated digital assistant like smart speakers, for example. And they claim that the traditional 10 blue link alone does not work as well, so that's why having the featured snippet is very, very useful. I put the link to their blog post in the show notes. I think you really should read it, have a look at it, just to get an understanding of what a featured snippet and the different types there is and why it benefits Google and ultimately the users. That's all they care about. It will benefit the users. When the featured snippet was introduced in January 2014, there were concerns by a lot of people that it means that you lose traffic, and people in the SEO community have voiced that. But not really stopping anyone from actually attempting to appear on featured snippet, because sometimes for the user, all they want is an answer and they just want it there and then, and that's it, done. And that's why people are concerned about you're going to lose traffic, because if they have an answer on Google, why should they bother visiting your website? But according to Google, it was very clear that featured snippet actually helps drive traffic. And on top of that, we are seeing publishers and bloggers and SEO experts, they're actually sharing tips about how you can increase your chances of appearing in one. And they claim because it will help you to attract more traffic. I have mixed opinion about that. I mean, yes, it can maybe help you drive more traffic, because if you have answered the question on Google and you have, the brief top five things that you can do to, fix your kitchen sink. Okay, list the top five things. But sometimes it's not enough. You need to get into more details. So you click on the source of that feature snippet. And that is what Google is saying, and that's how it can help you drive traffic, because you show the kind of like an overview of your article and an overview of like the answer to the question that people are searching for. So they're claiming that it will help you anyway. But it will depend on the content, because if, people are searching on Google, what's the weather like in London today, or whatever it is, let's just say London today, you can see the weather forecast right there and then on a search result page, and that's it, done, and you can go. you could argue, what's the point of having content around that? But then on the other hand, maybe they want to get into dig deeper about not just the weather today, but maybe the weather in the afternoon, in the morning, tomorrow, next week, and around the area, you know, maybe a specific area in London. And that's when you kind of, okay, click on the link on the future snippet, or not. Maybe it's not that link you want to click on. Maybe you want to click on the other blue links there as well. So it could be a source of traffic for you. You just never know. You just have to experiment it, but there's no harm in appearing there at the same time. It's another way to kind of showcase your knowledge, your ability to answer the question on top of that. Google has also mentioned that they are going to introduce like more feature snippet. When I say more, I mean they're thinking about showing more than one feature snippet that is related to what the searchers have searched for. And they want to do that to help people better locate information and also help in situations where there are kind of contradicting topics. They have used an example of a question, of all questions they choose actually, about reptiles. The question on Google, people, you know, you can search for is, are reptiles good pets? Are reptiles bad pets? In Google's perspective, it's actually the same question in different ways. You know, is it good or bad? It's kind of contradicting. So one way of answering that question is to show more than one feature snippet. And alarm bells are ringing, obviously, for people that more than one feature snippet means that the organic listing of the 10 blue links will be pushed down even further. So imagine on mobile how much further your listing will be if you have two feature snippets appearing at the top on mobile. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to visit your website or any website if the answer to that question is there and then in two separate boxes, in two separate featured snippets. So I'm interested to see how that looks like. But apparently, that is coming soon. So we'll keep an eye on that. We just don't know what you can do about that at the moment. You know, just have to wait and see whether there's anything you should be worried about, anything you can do. Who knows? And on top of that, you know, we have all seen mistakes on the feature snippet. And Google know that. They are aware of that. So they are encouraging people to submit feedback using the feedback link within the feature snippet. So that way they can kind of continue to tweak it, continue to improve it, and just make it more relevant for the users as well. So apparently they're looking into it. Apparently they are using the information that they receive from a feedback form. So if you have spotted errors or any major mistake, just submit the feedback and they will do their best to fix it. And now it's time for bonus tip of the week. This week's bonus tip of the week is going to be focused around local SEO. And the reason I want to talk about that, because one of the news that Google has announced and updated recently is around Google My Business. And that is an area where you should absolutely have, you should have an account there. You should have your business on Google My Business. And that is how you're going to appear on Google Maps and appear on local search. And it's very, very important. But anyway, with regards to the news, Google has made an update to the listing on Google My Business, which will make restaurant owners very, very happy. And that is, they are able to edit links to their menus, and they are able to edit the titles and descriptions and prices of the menus, and you can break it down into appetizers and main course and dessert, all that kind of thing. And it's a new editor that is there to help you edit the menu that will appear on, particularly on Google Mobile search, actually. But it's just another thing to point out that if you are really focusing on local search and your local market is important to you, you absolutely need to have Google My Business. Just Google it. That's all you have to do. Google My Business. When you're there, fill in all the relevant information, and the most important thing you need to do is to fill in, at the very least, your name, your address, and the phone number. These are like the bare minimum. And after that, you can see other places that you can fill in. The description, you need to get maybe reviews, and maybe for restaurant owners, talk about the menus. and then maybe you can add in your opening hours. That's kind of important as well. And when you open it, when you have an account there, it's not just about filling the information there. Keep it up to date. You know, your people will be searching on mobile while they're out and about, potentially looking for your business. And if you have the wrong information there, for example, the wrong phone number, they can't talk to you. If you have the opening hour as closed, but that's an old one, you are actually open, then you've lost a customer. It's very, very important to, you know, have a Google My Business account and also maintain it and update it where relevant. And on top of that, you can also encourage people to leave a review on your Google account, on your listing actually. Yeah, that's another great thing to have. That will make a big difference in terms of making sure that you are visible to your audience, and Google will take notice of that. If you have a lot of reviews and more than other competitors in the area, well, of course, you're going to appear better for Google, and also your customers will like that more if you have positive, hopefully positive reviews. So encourage that as well. Encourage that. But at the very least, just have Google My Business. Go from there, start filling the relevant fields, and then just keep an eye on it, but make sure you update it as well. Thank you for listening to this episode of This Week Online Today. I really do appreciate it, and I hope you found it useful. If you have enjoyed the show, please do leave a review on iTunes, as it would mean the world to me. I really would appreciate that. Thank you again, you rock. And one more thing, I just want to remind you to do your thing, because it matters. And I'll see you next week.